by it. Committee on Education for Friday, February 27th. We've gone through a whole month, you guys, a whole month.
Everybody was in suspense.
Well, it's going to be in March. Wow. So well, what we're going to be doing today, we're going to be having a public hearing, and then we're going to have an informational hearing on the REAP organization. So I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2597. Representative Johnson, and come on up. Okay. Actually, I'm opening up a public hearing on 2847.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2847 requires Aspire programs to annually provide financial aid instruction to high school students and their families, including different types of loans available to students attending post-secondary institutions of education and economic impact and the economic impact of each type of loan.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Good to see you. It's been a whole month. Wow, where'd the time go?
Well, this is a short month.
Saying I do last week, but now we've already done, right? Mark Johnson, I'm the state rep for House District 52. I live in the beautiful town of Hood River. So thank you for hearing this bill today. Appreciate it. This bill deals with Aspire. How many of you all can say what are the components within Aspire?
I do now.
It is. Aspire.
Yes. I can ask the Aspire lady here.
Aspire is simply access to student assistance programs in reach of everyone. So that's what Aspire stands for. The Aspire program was created in 1998 with four pilot schools, and it now has expanded to 145 sites across the state of Oregon. And I can just tell you from firsthand experience that the Aspire program that we have in our own Hood River Valley High School has been incredibly successful with helping students navigate post-secondary plans, whatever they might be. Everything as mundane as showing them how to fill out a FAFSA form, which obviously sometimes could take a postgraduate degree to
really yes
and the patience of Job, but then going on then to make decisions about where might be the best place for them to go, whether it be a community college, a four-year university, or what I want to access. And this make to spell out in this bill is actually other opportunities that could lead into apprenticeship and or career technical certification as well. So Aspire is a great program. It's doing a great job to reach a lot of students, and this bill doesn't necessarily require them to do anything that they may not already be doing. But my point would be with 147 locations across the state of Oregon, I do think it's important that we ensure that some components are part of every conversation that they have with students, at least those students that are seeking their help. And I'll just point you to two items in particular. One would be based around the financial aid component. Obviously, we're all aware of the burgeoning amount of debt that students are bearing. And to nobody's fault at the Aspire level, but we just know that post-secondary education is incredibly expensive. I want to make sure that students are getting good counseling regarding the type of student loans that they might take, because all student loans are not necessarily created alike. Some have very good terms and are in the student's best interest, but it also can be possible for students to be offered loan operations or loan programs that might not be in their best interest, i.e. there's some you could take that actually start accruing debt the minute you sign on the bottom line and so forth. So my point would be, if students are needing some sort of financial aid to go forward into their post-secondary world, I want to make sure that they have all the information that they need about what are the best types of options and what's in their best interest. The other thing I think it's important to bring out is that the course of these discussions hopefully will help the students to make good informed decisions about what type of institution is the best one for them, i.e. is the degree pathway you're choosing one that will enable you to, in a reasonable amount of time, repay your debt. You know, it's an important consideration, and again, this happens routinely, I know, in a lot of Aspire programs across the state of Oregon, but I just think it's important that those discussions happen. So this just sometimes it's necessary to spell out the obvious just to make sure it happens, and I think that's what a lot of this bill deals with. Secondly, the other point that I would touch on, and I think we mentioned it earlier, but I also think it's incredibly important to, along with the efforts that we're doing to expand career technical education opportunities in this legislative session, as well as what we've done for apprenticeship, to make sure that as a part of this discussion that, they're not faculty necessarily, they're another position, but that in these conversations that they're also giving students accurate information about career technical educational opportunities that are available locally for them. Mm-hmm. Again, we want to, it's great if kids are destined for college and that's their pathway, but we're going to hopefully, as a result of what we're doing here this session, create more practical career opportunities that can be right in local communities, whether in Portland or whether they're in Beaverton or whatever, or out in Baker Burge or wherever we are in the part of Oregon. So again, in these communications that these advisors are having with students, I think it's really important that they point them in the direction of really practical, again, career pathways that can be in their best interest. So that's basically all the bill does. As I said, in some cases, it kind of restates the obvious. I know these conversations are happening. I just think sometimes it's helpful, again, as we talk about, we currently have 145 sites, and we are expanding that. The hope is to bring Aspire to virtually every high school opportunity in the state of Oregon. So
I've noticed my own school district's not on here. So
We've got some room to grow, don't we, Madam Chair? So that's my pitch. So I'm happy to answer any questions, or I'll let Bob Rue here talk on behalf of OSAC.
Do that, and we'll ask. Open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. Chair Doherty, Vice Chair Frederick, Vice Chair Springer, and members of the committee, thank you very much. For the record, my name is Bob Rue, and I'm the Executive Director of the Office of Student Access and Completion, probably more commonly known as OSAC. And I wanted to thank Representative Johnson for his kind words. I know he's been a great supporter of OSAC and Aspire, particularly. OSAC's mission is to help students plan and pay for college. As the Student Financial Aid arm of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, we administer the Oregon Opportunity Grant, as well as many other state and federal education grants. We also provide administrative services to assist the Oregon Community Foundation, the Ford Family Foundation, and many other smaller private donors in distributing their private scholarship money. Altogether, we distribute more than $75 million per year to Oregon students. While we are able to get tens of millions of dollars to students to help them afford higher education, the aid we administer only covers a small fraction of the costs they will incur. Nearly all college students will take on some level of college debt. That's why we consider financial literacy to be such an important component of our work. Many on this committee have heard of our Aspire program. The Aspire name is an acronym, as Representative Johnson said, that stands for Access to Student Assistance Programs in Reach of Everyone. In the 145 sites that participate in Aspire, a site coordinator manages a team of volunteer mentors who work with students, usually one-on-one, to help them visualize their post-high school options, prepare the necessary paperwork for whatever path they choose, and essentially provide whatever supports they need through the financial aid and admissions process. In the 17-year history of Aspire, financial literacy has grown to be an important component of our program. Mentors will review financial aid letters, award letters with students, help them understand the components, and aid them in considering how much loan debt might be appropriate for them to consider. To broaden our reach, OSAC and Aspire have recently partnered with SALT, a nonprofit organization that provides online financial literacy training. Their full suite of trainings are available to our Aspire partner schools, and most of the tools are available for free via OSAC's website. And if you want to check them out, you can either get to them through OregonStudentAid.gov, which is the Aspire, or which is the OSAC website, or through saltmoney.org. It's a great suite of programs that goes beyond simply student debt, but talks about how to set a budget, how to balance a checkbook, how to compare investment, and a variety of different things. House Bill 2847 requires Aspire to provide financial aid instruction to high school students and their families, and specifically calls out instruction on the different types of loans that are available and the economic impacts of those loans. As you can imagine, the Aspire program for high school students is highly individualized, and each mentor tailors their assistance to the needs of the individual student. For students considering post-secondary opportunities for which loans are might not be appropriate or available, such as apprenticeship or military service, loan counseling might not be appropriate or needed. For students considering college or university after high school, financial literacy becomes much more critical. If the goal of House Bill 2847 is to get financial literacy training in the hands of our Aspire mentees, I believe we are already doing that well. And if the bill expands that training, it would have minimal impact on our agency, increasing our half-time trainer position to full-time. If the goal of the bill, and that's simply to do train the trainers with our site coordinators and mentors. If the goal of the bill is to expand financial literacy training to all students that attend Aspire participating schools, we would expect a greater level of staffing impact since our site coordinators are paid a fairly small stipend and their hours are limited. If the goal of the bill is to get Aspire into all high schools, which would be great, to provide financial literacy training, we would need to critically examine how we could staff this work and coordinate with schools that don't currently participate in Aspire. In any case, OSAC and the HEC fully support increasing financial literacy and specific loan literacy for those contemplating attending college or university and those currently enrolled. We will work diligently to implement whatever legislation is ultimately passed. Thank you for your attention, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions of this panelist? We have one more coming up later on. Any questions? Representative Greer.
Excuse me. This is an after-school or during-school program. I should know more. I haven't done my homework.
Yeah. Representative Doherty, Representative Reardon. So these are, since they're volunteer mentors, they work with a group of kids, maybe 2 to 5, I think is generally kind of the accepted caseload. And they'll work with those students either before school, after school, on study breaks, whatever works out best for the student and their schedule.
Representative McLean.
If I might just add, Chair Doherty,
Rep.
Reardon, in our high school, we have an Aspire office that's manned by an individual there 5 days a week. Okay. We have volunteers then that come in as they're able to work with students and to meet with them. And it can be between classes. It could be during lunch break. It could be after, you know, school or whatever. Whatever works in that, whenever the student has a need. And it's not a very apples-to-apples comparison, but you know how we have SMART in the elementary mm-hmm. school where folks come in and read with kids? Well, in some ways, this is like a SMART for college-bound or career-bound kids at high school level, where, again, adults come in to provide some mentorship and help them navigate the pathways as they leave, as they get ready to leave high school.
A follow-up, please. I really liked your comment about making sure there's a CTE element to the conversation. Mm-hmm. Is that really happening? Is there anything else that needs to, so that people get the really clear choice that they know that, you know, they might get an apprenticeship type program and they're earning $100,000 a year and no college debt, or they can go to college and maybe make a similar amount of money, but
Representative, again, it's making sure that the program is keeping their lines of communication open so that they're aware of what's happening. Again, as we're involved in trying to create more of these programs,
right.
It's not going to be a static situation. It's going to be changing because hopefully we're going to have a lot more pathways available for kids going forward. So, again, it's going to put the onus a bit on the local school district, I think, and I need to ask Bob about this if there's any information that gets disseminated from OSAC regarding these opportunities. But somehow the folks at the local level need to be aware of what's happening as more opportunities are created so that students are made aware of that information as well.
Yeah. Sure. Representative Doherty, Representative Reardon. Yes, so each of our schools, as I mentioned, there's a site coordinator on site, and they're paid a small stipend, kind of like maybe a football coach or something, not a U of O football coach, but I mean.
That's not a stipend.
None of us are in that category.
He must be. Use that, actually.
And so in some cases, those offices are staffed full time. In other cases, it just depends on the school. It's a highly individualized program. So we work really closely with our site coordinators, and they work with their volunteers to make sure that students kind of meet them where they are and provide them with opportunities. You know, some are maybe stretch opportunities, some are more down to earth, but work with them in whatever plan that they want to explore. So that includes not just CTE, not just community college, universities, that can include mentorship, that can include on-the-job training. we really are very broad.
Representative Springer, I know you're very involved in this program. Would you like to add something to that? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
A couple things to directly answer your question. I am an Aspire. I'm not an Aspire volunteer during session. I have been an Aspire volunteer for several years. There is specific training that already hits this, and we get our manuals and have it at home, and it says you need to cover these kinds of things, and you can choose to read the manual or not, but you can't choose to do the online training or not. And it goes over some of those, and it talks about it talks about vocational opportunities, apprenticeships, all of those opportunities for students. And I may get corrected here by our Aspire expert, and please do if I deserve it. But the philosophy I have had with my kids is Aspire, we start, my first year I had 19, and they were freshmen. You can do that with freshmen because they can't think past the football game on Friday night. So you can give a great foundation, and I say that in love, but it's factual. And so you start with them there, and it's about what are you going to do after high school? Because when they come through the doors at high school, they start talking about the diploma and the diploma and the diploma. And the diploma, in my opinion, is the starting point, not the end game. And so I would start talking to them about what do you want your life to be like? And then you help match them to a path. What kind of life do you want to have? What kind of place do you want to live? And so these are actually things that are covered, and the costs are covered. And when they start, they're totally clueless. They are absolutely so clueless. One girl told me one time, I want to be a doctor, and the school I want to go to costs $2,000 a month. Yeah. Well, you don't pay for college by the month, first of all. And so we spent a lot of time talking about that. But there is very, very clear, well-articulated training materials that go through these elements. And then in addition to that, you get the other little handbook that says, if they're a freshman, go to this section, a sophomore, whatever. And here's month by month. You should be talking about this. You should be getting done this. Yeah. And it's extraordinarily clear. You can go with that or not. And there was one other thing that was mentioned that I wanted to grab a hold of. And I bet I have an opportunity to come back to that.
I'm impressed with the areas that you have it in because it's a very... They're out in the hinterlands. They're out in the rural areas so much, which is something that I think is very, very helpful because sometimes it's a little harder to get people into the rural areas as opposed to the metro. But it looks like you guys are all over. Questions? Representative Hack?
I think I'm good.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
Madam Chair. I enjoy reading about Aspire. Representative Springer can go on for many, many hours on Aspire because she really does like the program quite a bit, and appropriately so. I am curious, however, and I'm pleased to see the interaction in terms of the middle school.
Yes.
At the high school level, it's one thing, but by that time, there you haven't gotten the momentum going. I am also curious about, and I don't see this listed, about how much involvement you have with parents, not just at the middle school level, but at the elementary school level, quite frankly. Because if you, in my experience, the success is really begun, or the momentum is begun at the elementary school level, and it's begun with the parents saying, you know, you might want to read that or learn how to read that, or this is an idea, and that tends to really get the kids going as well. So I don't know whether I don't see that. Am I missing something in your description of some of the things regarding Aspire?
So Representative Doherty, Representative Frederick, thank you. We are in schools essentially where we have been invited. We began in rural Oregon, specifically with a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation to develop this work, to grow this work, and we've tended to grow and expand in the rural areas, primarily because so many of those schools don't even have a guidance counselor. Exactly. And we provide an important link for those students. As you mentioned, Representative Frederick, we've expanded into the middle school. We now have into some middle schools. We now have an online program that we use. We are in a pilot program at community colleges, at a few community colleges and one university, to kind of help students make that transition into school. But at this point, we are not in any elementary schools. We hope to be able to develop the program to do that, and we're actually working with, up till this point, we've been primarily gone in school by school, and we're in negotiations now to work with some specific school districts where they will kind of bring Aspire and integrate Aspire into their entire curriculum from elementary on up. I'd really love Representative Spranger to discuss about her interactions with parents. I know that, like any educational entity, we would love to see more parents involved at all times. But I think our volunteers and coordinators do a great job. And
did you want to add something to that about the parent component?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. In fact, the question I had briefly forgotten that brought to mind, and it's just some verbiage in the bill that's slightly concerning to me how it's written, and easily fixed if it needs to be fixed, and that is the part that says, each year the program shall provide financial aid instruction to high school students and their families, and I think we want to be careful with that. So, to answer your question, Representative Frederickson, I had, out of all my kids, I don't know how many, a bunch of them, I had a parent come in one time, and it was during the school day. Some of my kids, if they were freshmen, I met them during their particular study hall group because they were free. I didn't want to pull them out of classes. Other kids I met after school. It just depended on their activity level and session. That said, I had one parent come in one time and said, and I would like to think that had to do with me baiting that parent, frankly. And I baited lots of them. You should talk to Mom and Dad about that. Yeah. Go ask Mom and Dad about that. When you take your virtual tour, because I was always having them on the computers because they love them, do virtual tours at any college in the world, forget how much it costs, and go talk to your parent about it. And so I had one parent come in. Others, I just happen to know them. Maybe I'd call them. But that's super, super important. As important as that is, I would hate that to be a barrier to the program at all, because then all the more reason for Aspire. So the concern with my language here is that we're careful what that requirement is on the family piece. Now, I've also participated in the college knowledge nights that the school have. They're not Aspire. Mm-hmm. And in a school of 1,250, there's probably 20 parents maybe that show up. That's not 1,250 seniors, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I quit attending. So after a while, after we got things on track. So it's an important piece. Mm-hmm. I think the beauty, frankly, of Aspire is it fills that gap where maybe parents, for whatever reason, aren't as engaged. And that's what I tried to do with my time with them.
Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate that. I'm not suggesting that it get in the way by any means. I just, and you have, because it's in many of the rural communities, many of the folks that you're going to know each other. I mean, that has a great deal to do with it. I just wanted to make it's also important to just remember that those parents are there, and find a way, if possible, even if it's baiting them.
I didn't use that word, did I?
baiting
didn't
them
use harangue.
Baiting them to get involved. That's an important factor as far as I'm concerned. I just want to, because I've seen parents, once they get interested in it, you have the kids there every week, every day, working on things. So I just wanted to point that out.
Representative Johnson.
Representative Frederick, good, very good points. And the parental component is key, where you can engage with it. And I've seen that happen in our own program in Hood River, where we have a number of students who are first in family to access any sort of post-secondary education, especially amongst, you know, when we've got a 45% Latino population who are cheering for their kids to go forward, but they have no idea really what that next stage looks like. So the idea of incurring debt and entering into long-term, interest-bearing documents, they haven't encountered that before. So they need to have the benefit of that counseling as well as the career pathway. So it's paid dividends tremendously in my community. I can just tell you that from firsthand experience. But secondly, regarding the middle school, we have a program called SOAR, and I don't know if that the acronym for what Middle School Aspire is. It might just be our local.
It must be something different because
I don't know what it stands for. But that's where we go down to the middle school level and start that. And as you say, with the family units, start talking, planting the seeds, because it's not just about careers, but in order to be eligible for the career, you have to navigate those next 8 years effectively as well. So if you haven't positioned yourself as a ninth grader to be on track to graduate, a lot of this isn't going to happen anyway. So, but I will say other states have made much better inroads in this than us, Colorado being one, who I believe at the time that a student begins middle school, they're required to come together as student, family, and the school district interests, if you will, and they put together a little contract, if you will, or a roadmap for that student for those next 8 years. What's success going to look like for you to make sure that as a middle schooler you're preparing yourself for the high school rigor that you're going to need to be prepared for, and then beyond, what might that be? Obviously, you don't have to lock yourself into career pathway, but again, it's the unit. It's that the student, the family, and the school district coming together to try to help navigate. So
I'd like to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I think you could look online with NCSL, National Council of State Legislators, I think has some stuff on that, as well as Education Commission of the States. But I'll see if I can find that and get it to your office.
Great. Any other questions?
It's not really a question too much. I wanted to say that I think it takes the whole community, again, and every kind of program like this that gives a goal and gives a structure that really helps people understand that there's a future to think about and how do I plan to get it done. And I think it's great. And what I really like about Aspire is the fact that it's really taken and used and made the school's own program. They don't all look alike.
Right.
You've got some goals and you've got some, sort of directions that are there, but they really look different. And the experience that I had, we had senior seminar, we had our career development goals, and then we had a program like Aspire. And I say like Aspire because I think that there were elements that we used that were very definitely part of the program, but there were other elements that I think were very much this school's take on it. And it all just brought parents and mentors together with students. And I think that's what you need, is that connection where they're really talking about it out loud with others who have support and have material that they can then give to these students and make it very useful. But I think it's a good program, and I really appreciate your effort here to make it complete.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? No, I was impressed. As much as I'm involved in schools, this is the first time I've heard of the program. So,
and you haven't been on a committee together.
Apparently I have not. So anyway, any other comments or questions? We have one more speaker to come up.
Question.
Yes.
Probably to staff here. I'm looking at the bill, and it seems to end rather abruptly. The last line is the short-term and long-term economic impacts of each type of student loan. I'm not saying it's wrong. Is it truly a one-page bill and ends like that? Because typically we have the emergency clause down there. I'm not saying we need the emergency clause.
I was asking myself that question.
Doesn't it look wrong?
It looks nice and concise, though, does it
yes.
not?
Madam Chair, Representative Springer, at the bottom of the bill there is the hard line, kind of, and that's usually the LC signal to signify the end of the bill.
Yeah.
I will double check, though.
Yeah.
That's where you just insert it into
whatever. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, McKermit. Okay, John Rakowitz is the other person signed up.
It's an emergency.
And it's okay that it's
everything's
not,
an emergency.
That does
it
not
is
look
weird, yeah.
Right. But I know that.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Doherty, members of the committee. John Rakowitz with AGC, Associated General Contractors. We're the largest commercial construction associate, trade association in the state of Oregon, and I am here in enthusiastic support of this bill. In fact, I look at it and go, it may be one of those little bills, but it probably could have a real material difference. I think many members of this committee are acutely aware that Wednesday was Career Tech Ed Day in the Capitol. I think this is part of making the kind of progress we hope to make. My industry has been involved. I've personally been involved for 5 years now, trying to restore, along with many members of this committee and other members in this building, career tech education throughout the state of Oregon. I consider it hopefully a defining moment in this entire legislative session. What we know about our industry, this is one little industry, and the reason we like this bill so much is it says the words apprenticeship, and it brings that back to bear, underscores that. We know that people coming into our training programs are mid to late 20s. We don't know what they've been doing since they left high school. What we do know is that they have not been on track to get into our industry. On average, $52,000 a year is what the average construction worker in the state of Oregon makes. That's 16% higher than all other private sector employment in this state. We are, like many industries that have high demand, high skill need for workforce, very anxious that we are not going to be able to fill those jobs with Oregon kids. This is one more little way that we try to strengthen that. And I passed out something for you today. As an industry, we're trying to do everything we know how to do. 15 to 20%, which is not a lot of money, $250,000 to $400,000 a year of our annual budget goes to workforce programs. We send out grants to all kinds of programs, high school and post high school, to get people to know about get into our industry. I passed out a little card there. Build Oregon, it's a website that we launched, and hopefully it really works because younger people than I put it together to provide that kind of information. And I pass it out to you. We pass it out to everybody. We're actively engaged in trying to promote our industry. And frankly, one of the roadblocks we have is who do we connect to in the schools? And so this is another method that we're trying to use to make sure students, career counselors, which many times do not know about apprenticeship programs. So you can find all that information on this website. So that's another thing. And finally, we're very proud of the fact we made national news at the end of last year with by partnering with ACE Academy, which serves four different East Multnomah County school districts, and ACE stands for Architecture, Construction, and Engineering, and we started our first high school AGC chapter. Those kids have a major leg up. They're being mentored and getting to know the people and leaders in the industry. They got a jump start. So we're doing everything possible. So I'm really here just to point out for one industry what this little bill might be able to help us do, and that it plays a role in a much bigger issue. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Rakowitz?
Just a quick comment,
Frederick.
Madam Chair. John, I want to thank you. The ACE Academy is it's not in my district, but it is an extraordinary program. And even more so, quite frankly, your work has not just been at the high school level.
No.
You've been talking about the issue in terms of middle school. There's another aspect to this that I think is important, and it's not just how many skills you get. You also gain, if you see folks doing this kind of work, you gain a sense of respect for the kind of work they do.
Yeah.
And even if you aren't doing the work, then you can at least say, you know, I know that this takes a bit to do this. This takes some not only persistence but some other skill sets that I may not have. And believe me, I do not have them. but it's important to have that respect for the people who do. And so I want to thank you again because I've seen the work that you're doing on that. It really makes a difference.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions, Mr. Rakowitz?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on House Bill 2897? Yes.
Very briefly. I want to take a poll and raise your hand if you're an Aspire volunteer, but I won't. but in all sincerity, sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. Sometimes it's not our thing, and that's okay. But I got to tell you, everybody up here, and most of you out in the audience, have the ability in your districts, in your areas, if there is an Aspire program, to get people to volunteer. I pulled together a meeting, and I had a local CPA, the hospital administrator, the executive director of Boys and Girls Club, and a bunch of other people. Maybe harangue would be the word to use in that instance. But we have the ability people. We have the ability to ask people to step up and do this and really kind of put our money where our mouth is, because this is the best bang for the buck got going.
I like that. Okay, with that, I close the public hearing on House Bill 2847, and I'm going to open up an informational hearing on the REAP organization. And REAP stands for Reaching and Empowering All People, Inc. It's a Portland-based nonprofit, and we have Mr. Mark Johnson here and some of the participants for REAP, so we'd love to have you come up and... Jackson. Did I call you Johnson or Jackson?
It happens all the time.
Yes. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, thank you, committee members. My name is Mark Jackson, Executive Director of REAP Incorporated, where our tagline is developing the next wave of leaders. In the spirit of Black History Month, a quote from George Washington Carver, education is a key to unlock the golden door of freedom. And I look at REAP as a key for young people to really unlock their future and their hidden potential. REAP is really built upon two prongs, one being student voice and the other being leadership. And for those who are not too familiar with the REAP organization, our whole goal is to be proactively involved and engaged to empower students to really maximize their leadership potential and really shape their future now. And hearing from the Aspire presentation, I can't underscore what was shared from them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need a mic. Yeah. but it's important that we really create a strong pipeline for our students, for our youth. You look at Oregon in terms of our educational system nationwide, it's not too exciting to look at. But with, I think, programs such as Aspire, programs like REAP and other programs are really kind of in the building, working with students, working with families to ensure our kids have a real clear future, all the more important. When you look at Oregon demographics, it's changing daily. I think when you look at in terms of being relevant as a state, we have to continue to embrace the notion of diversity and find innovative ways to really kind of solve our problems. REAP is a recipient of House Bill 32 in this current biennium with the dollars invested by former Governor Kitzhaber around putting in mentoring components into our school system to try to identify a state model that works. And right now, REAP is working. We're based in Portland. We're excited about what we do. We work with kids from middle school to high school, really creating two things, access and opportunity. And it's not so much the idea of trying to tell you about REAP. We're showing you REAP by being here today. I'm joined with students who come from various schools, from 7th grade up to 12th grade, most of which are new to REAP. So it's an exciting day for them to have their debut as public speakers. But understand that we have an opportunity, I think, to be pioneering in spirit and being innovative in thought, to really kind of put forth some real partnerships on the table to change the narrative of our educational narrative. I think looking at programs like REAP and other community-based led organizations, to have them institutionalized in the public school system is value added. Otherwise, we're going to lose our kids. We talk about relationship and talk about building trust building. Having CBOs in the school communities and school cultures, it brings a wraparound support that oftentimes is missed with just seat time. REAP is a passport into the future where we take learning beyond just seat time in the classroom and we bring kids to places like the state capitol and have them project and elevate their voice about their perspective and their vision. After all, they're our future, whether we like it or not. They're going to assume our future roles as CEOs, as state legislators. So it's all the more important to begin now undergirding them and preparing them to be comfortable leading. So I'm going to yield the mic to two students who are going to speak, and then we'll have three others speak and just kind of share briefly about themselves and really answer the question. If I could change one thing or maybe two things about this public school system in Oregon, what would it be? And more importantly, how? Because REAP is not about highlighting problems, but how do we identify solutions and implement the solutions? With that being said, please welcome two of our REAP ambassadors, one from Madison High School, and the other is from Creative Science School. One is in the 10th grade, the other in the 7th grade. So I'll have them go first with my friend Kobe.
Yeah, and you don't have to, Mike can be this far away. So.
I thought you were going to go.
You go here.
I don't know.
So you start with your name.
My name is Kobe. Kobe Ross. The answer to the question. What's the question?
Talk about education.
I feel that education has been made hard for some of our students. It's been made harder than it has to be. I want to talk about standardized testing. I feel that it doesn't properly measure how smart a kid is. Like, but they're like the most important test of our lives. Like, it really predicts kind of where we go. And I feel that there's other ways that we can be tested, because some people aren't able, like physically and mentally, like aren't able to take tests. Like, they can't like write on paper, and like, cause it makes them nervous. Like, it causes other problems. I feel that there's other options, like group testing or like in elementary school. In some middle schools, they used to like take us out and read questions to us and like make it so that we wouldn't be so nervous. Like, mm-hmm. They'd be like, "Don't worry about it," "Don't worry about the question. It's not really important. But can you read this for me? And how much can you read?" Like, that was easier for us because it wasn't really as stressful. It wasn't as stressful. And can I move on to my next
one? Sure. Good job. Doing a good job.
Thank you. My next point is that I feel like organizations like REAP and like Step Up, if you guys know what that is, they help our black students. They help more than that, just a lot of students succeed, and they give us the drive to continue even when we feel like giving up. I feel like they should be funded more because they should be recognized as classes, because some of them we get credit for, but they're underrated. And I feel like the school should focus more on those classes, because like, from my personal experience, last year was a hard year for me, and like, I almost gave up, but then I found Step Up, and they gave me they helped me with my homework and everything. They gave me a place to stay, like not a place to stay, but like a place to come in and work,
place to go.
And yeah, they gave me a lot of help, and they gave me the drive to continue. And I feel like they could do more with better equipment and better, and if they were better treated and more of a an asset.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair and the Council. So my name is Kenji Tahama, and I am quarter black, quarter white, and half Tanzanian, and I go to Creative Science School, and I'm in 7th grade, and I am, according to standardized testing, above average student. But what I'm thinking is, so when you're below average in your tests, then you get all the help you can to get to average, and then pretty much stay at the surface, if you will. And if you're above average, you kind of almost get no help. and fall down to average. So then we have everybody on average, and yeah. So what I was thinking is that we need to have something like the TAG program where there would be like a incentive to be above average and help like to be above average. So where you go out and do something like on a Friday, like the end of some Fridays, and you would go out and do some engineering project or drawing project with your school as a team. And I think that would influence other kids who may be behind it or average because they're just, I don't know, goofing off, to want to step up and become one of those people that actually like get to do different projects that are not considered curricular. But you're probably not going to be a mathematician when you grow up, so it's important to have like other skills that you'll have to do to or other things that you can do to know where you want to be when you grow up. So two birds with one stone. But I think that program could probably be based off of the TAG program in the fact that, like, you know, more funding or something. And I think that it would be graded quarterly, and I think it would appreciate to see, or some people would appreciate to see, like, where they are in that kind of place, like if that's the right thing for them to be doing. And yeah, it could get a little bit competitive, but I think it will work really well.
Okay, great. Do we have any questions of the panelists? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I need to extend an apology. Not all freshmen or younger students can't think past Friday night's football game. And apparently I stand corrected. And I apologize.
Thank you for that clarification. It is on record now.
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Frederick.
First of all, I want to thank you all for being here. Mm-hmm. You are representing your other students and your community very well. I appreciate that quite a bit. And I've got to say this because it's sort of funny for me. I get a chance to, whenever I hear George Washington Carver, I get a big kick out of it because that's my dad was his last lab assistant. So for me to hear a Carver quote, I'm going to have to call him and say, by the way, that was a Carver quote here. And I also want to say something else. I want to apologize to you. I want to apologize because we have not, as a state, really done well in terms of your education. And I say that not just because I'm trying to make a rhetorical statement. I say that because you're going to be choosing my nursing home. And I want you to know that I'm sorry that we didn't do what we needed to do.
No, I'll be choosing your nursing home.
So, and I say that because the fact is you come up with some ideas that are very appropriate. And we need to have your ideas down here. And we need to have your ideas down here on a regular basis. So don't just think that when you come down here once, all of you guys, you don't just come down here once and you don't just send a note down here once or an email. You send things when you come up with an idea like that. As you started to talk about the talented and gifted and the testing issues, we're talking about those things down here. And we need to have your voice on those things. So I really appreciate you being here and saying what needs to be said. Thank you,
Thank you very much. We do appreciate the input that you have, and we have it written down, and we're going to take it to heart. Now, do you have other gentlemen that are going to speak to us? Thank you guys very much. You represented REAP very well. And as a former speech teacher, I thought that they were very good speakers.
Well, I was going to say that, but I was afraid that I would be just too much praise in 1 minute, but you guys can join the speech team anytime.
Yes, not that we want to put any pressure on you, but we were speech teachers, so.
Well,
gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you for this big opportunity. My name is Abdi Mohammed. I am a senior at David Douglas, trying to graduate and trying to get a place at PSU and study business. And I wanted to say that REAP has helped me grow as a person and, you know, help me as a leader. I'm trying to grow and be a better communicator here. And I wanted to say that in school, you know, as a black kid, you don't have that fatherly figure, motherly figure type person in school. I mean, as a we need more black teachers. I've seen black teachers, but they are mostly electives, you know, and we need that big teacher, English, math teacher. We need that, you know, that counselor as a black counselor. And we need that relationship between us so they can understand what we go through and what we've been through, you know, that we can share that. And yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us again.
Okay, thank you. And if you want to move that microphone just a little closer to him, that's perfect. Not too close, but perfect.
My name is Jordan Hill, I'm from Madison High School, and our REAP and Step Up has been a great opportunity for me to, like, do my work and be a better student to others and be good friends to others. And one thing in school with education
it's okay. You're doing great.
It has been bad for me, but for others, it's been quite hard because how their life's been and stuff, and how, like, things have been bad for their life and stuff, and then like Step Up or REAP can have like could like help them like do help them do like other things and have that one-on-one talk to each other about school and about how life's been and stuff, and to help them on what they need or what they can work on. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My name is Sia Mohammed, and I'm from Madison High School. Something that Step Up has been there for me about everything, like when I need food, like in class I get a headache and over-exaggerate or something like that. And then I go there to get some food, and they help me about anything. And then something that's really important about education is, like, having sports, like, in schools. Like, it gets you, like, to have, like, a better grade without having the grades to, like, without having good grades, you couldn't be able to play the sports. So mm-hmm. It motivates me to do good in classes while playing sports. And it gives me, like, discipline and things in life that I need. And then about education, having small classes is really good because you get one-on-one with teachers, and then we need, like, more teachers to, like, hire more teachers and that stuff. And then the other things about testing, I mean, testing doesn't prove, like, how well you are in, like, in person, like, and then, like, the taking the balance and something test, what's it called?
Smarter balance.
Yeah, that test is, like, once you fail that test, you're done. I mean, you can't graduate or anything, and then so it's not fair to other people how you have to take how once something is it affects your life and how you do things, and like for me, I'm not that, I mean, I'm not like super smart or anything, so that's why it's scary for me, like, to study hard and play sports and do other things to keep me up with my education, and that would be really helpful if, like in my, in math class, we test, like, every Friday we have a test, like, or every other day, and just, it's just not, like, good and, like, gets me stressed and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to play sports or any other thing. And that's why we have Step Up and Reap and to help us with a lot of things in life. And then test kills, like, everybody, every student. I mean, it's your life that we're talking about, like, with the tests and stuff. If you fail, you're not going nowhere in life. That's why there's more people out in homeless shelters or out in the streets asking for a cigarette or something. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Any questions of these gentlemen? Yes, Representative Hack.
I just want to make a comment. Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, you're so brave, and I just appreciate you being here. Something that you said just hit me in the gut and in the heart. We spent a lot of time talking about Latino teachers and ELL and making sure that we're taking care of that. And this just hit me really hard that we need to be doing the same for everybody. And when you said we need to make sure that we have more African-American teachers in the classroom, I don't know that we're doing that very well. And so I just appreciate so much what you three just had to say. And I think we can do a better job. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to tell you thank you for what you had to say. And everybody needs some help. And we can't put one group over another. And so I just so appreciate you being here.
Okay, thank you. Representative Frederick.
Representative Hack, I wanted to at least let you know that House Bill 3375 might be something you want to look at. It's the renaming the Minority Teachers Act so that we are, in fact, starting to do something about those particular issues. What struck me and what was a concern for me was your comments about because of the testing, you're not going anywhere in life. You're going somewhere. You're going to do well. You're already working with some folks here, and they're going to make sure that that's the case. And don't let that testing overwhelm you at all. It is not. It does not tell you how well you're going to do in life. And if anybody tells you that, then they are making a huge mistake, and they're trying to put too much emphasis on that. Do what you can with it. Let people know what they have you do if you take those particular tests. But don't believe that it's going to stop where you are in life. Madison High School has a particular interest for me because my wife graduated from there. It was a few years ago, 1965. A long time ago. Yeah, a long time ago. I won't tell her that. But the fact is that if you go and take a look at your yearbooks from Madison High School in 1965, you will find a very different school. The opportunities that were there included 9 different languages that you could learn. Not speaking there. You probably have 45 or 50 languages being spoken there at this particular point. But 9 different languages that you could learn to read. But also Madison High School right now is struggling because they have a computer lab that will be having folks taking the test in the computer lab. And the report that I have is that in that computer lab is just for taking the test. So the next 3 months or so will be spent using that computer lab for taking the test, not for students being able to do things with the computers. Mm-hmm. That is a priority that I think is in error, to say the least. So I think it's the kind of thing we need to work on. Thank you all again for being here to tell us what you had to say about your lives and our ideas on education. It helps us a lot.
Well, Representative Reardon, who, by the way, used to teach at David Douglas High School?
I did. You look very familiar. So thank you all for coming here. And I wanted to repeat Representative Frederick's comment about the testing. That is not a measure if you don't do well on that test, that's a measure of the school's performance. That's a measure of our performance up here, because we're not doing a job. So please do your best on it, because we need to get that feedback on how's the system doing. But even though you as an individual take it, you're not happy if you don't do as well as you think you can. Please don't. It's not a measure of you as an individual by any means. So please take it that way. And also, I don't believe anybody's going to fail to graduate because you do poorly on a Smarter Balance test, at least not for a year or so. Please relax a little bit on it. And I think I heard you say that you're being tested every other day. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, it's like on Fridays or sometimes. And sometimes they switch it.
No, wasn't my idea. So anyway, I just want to encourage you to keep doing your best. And with Mr. Jackson's help, I know you're going to do really well.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Do we have some more speakers coming up, or? Okay. Changed your mind? Come on up.
I got to do stuff.
Hello, my name is Tyler Franklin. I go to Ferge campus, and I'm a senior, and I was just wanted to talk about how, like, teachers should focus more on, like, what is kids learning, like, how should I put this, like, instead of, like, moving on a subject, like, they should wait till, like, the class, like, gets it all instead of moving on, and, like, I feel like teachers have favorites sometimes. Well, they shouldn't favorite a class. They should, like, look at this class as a team and, like, make sure, like, they all get it, and, like, yeah, and, like, I want to talk about the school lunch, because it's like you need to eat to focus in class, or well, some kids fall asleep, and like the school lunch is nasty at my school, I'm not gonna lie, and and like many kids really don't eat it, so it's like they have no energy to focus in class or pay attention, so they just fall asleep or nod off, and then they miss the whole lesson, and then they just ask like other students what to do when they don't know what to do, and then what else? Yeah, I struggled in school, and like I really didn't have like that much help, and like every time I asked for help, they either told me to ask my neighbor, which he didn't know what to do, so it was like we're just stuck not doing it, so I started not to care, and like just gave up, and then I went to David Douglas my freshman year, and like got the same results, and I just only got 2 credits that year, and like I was hanging around a lot of students that pretty much did the same thing, so I went to Ferridge, what you call it? I went to Ferridge my sophomore year, and then they gave me the best help, and like the reprogram, they give you like attention, help, and like they focus on what you need to do to graduate and get your credits up, and like yeah.
Yes?
I don't know, the last time we had something like that happen, it was one of those things falling.
Last week we had the part of the roof fell in and knocked some lady out, but we won't do that. So it's nice and quiet here.
Okay,
hi. Thank you so much.
I'm Jerome, and I go to Ferridge campus, and I kind of want to talk about the point that was brought up about the Smarter Balance, because I went... before I came here in August from California, and they kind of have like the similar system, like of the Smarter Balance. Like it's like I don't know what it was called. I forgot what it was called, but it was like when I before I came, they made like juniors take it just to like kind of like a testing, like just like the test to see where you are, just to see how the program would work. And it's kind of like the Smarter Balance. And I think that I'm pretty sure that most schools aren't just throwing it all out at people, like at schools, like all at once. But like I know some schools are bringing in the Smarter Balance like bit by bit. But like sometimes, like for some people, I know like the Smarter Balance thing that's coming up is kind of harder because it goes more in depth of what people aren't used to learning in a way, like the way they're not used to learning. So don't know, I just think that there should be like a, like, I think the smarter balance is a good idea, but it should be an easier way. It should be like brought about.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments for the for our folks?
Do you have something else to say?
I'm like,
yeah, and Jerome, if you could say your full name, this is for the formal record.
Jerome Edgar.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
And I think teachers like teaching.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think teachers like teaching different ways because students learn like different ways. Like some are visual learners or some are hands-on learners. And like they should like come up with different activities to teach like the students. Like some students like sports, so they should come up with like a sports way like to teach the students like a math game or something or a reading game or, yeah, that's all I have to say.
Well, I used to sing history to my students.
Oh, see?
But then they'd roll their eyes. Anyway. Oh, this is great input. Representative Reardon.
Well, I've had the pleasure of knowing Mr. Jackson for several years now, and very inspired by what he does and how hard he works for the students. And just the last little fundraising banquet that we went to, I happened to talk to one of his students that was a graduate of his, kid named Anthony, was a kid, and he said he wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for REAP, and that's the kind of impact that these programs make on kids.
Yes, it is.
And I just can't forget that kid. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions, comments? Well, listen, I appreciate you gentlemen coming down. You've been very good. I give you a round of applause. And you're a great representative not only for your communities, and we're glad that you're here. So with that, unless there are any other comments, I'm going to close the informational hearing on the REAP organization, and I think that's all the business we have today, and we're going to adjourn the House Committee on Education.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The House Committee on Education.
Thank you.